If you would join me in the book of Psalm, chapter 119. Psalm 119, we're going to, believe it or not, we're actually finishing this tonight. I forget the exact number, I've lost count, but there's 20-some messages through here, and you can easily, you could count it on your own, 20-some messages of the Hebrew alphabet. And we're in the very last verses of Psalm 119. Verses 169 through 176. If you follow along with me, and I'm going to read these verses, starting in Psalm 119, 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Today we come to the conclusion of this chapter that's just been a joy to go through. It's really been impressing upon us the value of God's word, how it's relevant for any walk of life, any situation that you're going through. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, we see that it is that God's word is all that we need for life and godliness. It helps you. How do I handle this situation? How do I handle this diagnosis? How do I handle this relationship? How do I go with attacks? But even more so than that, how do I relate to God? How do I obey? How do I live before him? And it's just been a great series we've gone through. This last one would be of the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Mine says the word at the top, Taw, T-A-W. As we go through here, we're seeing the very last stanza of the psalmist. It's an anonymous psalmist. We don't know who wrote it. My conviction or belief, should I say, I believe it's David, but we don't know that for sure. We don't know exactly who the psalmist is. There are various reasons why many think it is him, but we don't know for sure. But as we're going through this, these verses tonight, we really see a theme of a shepherd. We constantly see the theme of the shepherd or God as a shepherd of his people throughout the Bible. In Psalm 23, we know that God is our shepherd. He has that image. In Ezekiel 34, God promises his people, he says, I will appoint over them a single shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them. In chapter 5, in verse 2 through 4, we really see that theme is continued again, telling us that there's going to be a future shepherd that comes out of Bethlehem. Now here's a softball question for you, all right? I'm lobbing it up high. Who's that future shepherd that come out of Bethlehem? All right, Jesus. Good job. You guys knocked that out of the park. We had the All-Star game the other day. American League won. All right. Jeff's probably not too thrilled. He's all right. But we see the shepherd. God is constantly seen as a shepherd. John 10 says that shepherd out of Micah 5, that shepherd was Jesus, the Son of God. Hey, he was the good shepherd, the promised one. He fulfilled the promise of it. And there's many other passages. We could go to Hebrews chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 5, and Revelation chapter 7. Again, you see this theme of God as the shepherd. In this 22nd stanza, there we go, I have it written down for us, 22nd stanza, we see that the shepherd imagery again is here. As the psalmist is going to pour out his heart and he's pleading to God, he kind of feels like a sheep who has lost his way. Did you catch what it said at the verse 176? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He's appealing to a shepherd, a loving shepherd. It's his only hope. The one who will come after him, the one that'll keep him safe, the one that'll guide and direct him. And it's just from what we looked at last week in verses 161 through 168, it's really a contrast as we compared these chapters. There is here a confession of faithfulness and dedication that was last week. This week, there's a prayer for understanding, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for help, a prayer for salvation and rescue. But the psalmist is confident that he will be heard. And so you say, how do you know that? Well, look in verse 160, 169. He says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. He's confident because of God's word. That's what we've been looking at through this chapter, is the confidence we have in God's word. He has a confidence there that because of his promises, because of the assurances he knows, that God will hear him. So we're going to look today just a few points that we see the psalmist makes as he's calling to his shepherd. The first one, he's saying, Lord, please hear my prayer. Look with me again. And we just read verse 169, but I add 170. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. The psalmist, he has two things here in these verses. In 169, he's saying it's my cry. In 170, he says it's my plea. The commentator, Alec Moyter, he says this. There's no cocky bursting into his presence. What is the nature of his cry and plea? It's twofold. First, give me understanding according to your word. And second, rescue me according to your promise. He's not saying anything about who he is. He's not making a demand of God outside of, he's saying, look, I'm looking at your word, God. I see who you are, and I'm coming to you to rescue me. Hear my prayer. Even this Sunday evening, we're going to be speaking on prayer. We're going to be in a parable of a widow who is going to a judge, an unjust judge, and she's constantly pleading with him. And that parable begins with a call to persistent prayer. The psalmist here is like that. He's going in this prayer and calling out, God, hear me. God, I'm pleading to you. I'm crying out. It's an idea that he keeps going back to God and according to his word. He's saying, I need to know the right things. In the right spirit, in the right time, in the right way, for the right purposes. He's saying, God, I know that you know what's best. I know you know what's going on in my circumstances. You know what's going on in my heart and my life. And he's, God, would you hear my plea? The psalmist here, he has an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord. He can come near to him and pour out his heart. There's a boldness, a humility there. As he's coming to God and he's recognizing that he has an inward need, as well as we've seen throughout this chapter, there is an outward need of persecution, attacks on him. And he's praying, God, I need your help. I need you to rescue me. I need you to deliver me. Verse 170, when it says, deliver me according to your word, it's again the idea of rescuing. Pull me out. Snatch me away from this. Work on my heart by means of your word and help me as I'm in these circumstances, the situation I find myself in. He needs God to intervene with him. This will help him as he goes through it. You know, don't you sometimes you're looking for answers? You're saying, God, I need help. Would you help me understand? Would you help me to know what I need to? How am I to respond? What am I to take from this? Spurgeon, he wrote this. He says, the Lord, in answer to prayer, frequently delivers his children by making them wise as serpents and well and as harmless as doves. How much he can help us to learn and grow. God, what am I to take from this? How are you shaping me? What are you molding me into? You know, isn't it interesting that no matter how old we get, we never ever outgrow our need for God's word. It's funny. I talk with different people at different times, just even in this room, and somebody say, you know, I've read this many times, and I never knew that. I never saw that before. Hey, if you're like me, how many times I'll sit there and go, man, I heard somebody preach this, somebody preach this, somebody preach this, and I never heard this. Maybe they did say it, but it just went in one ear and out in the other. But those times you need it, you know how How wonderful that is. The times you need it, the time that's just right, and all of a sudden something hits you and you say, I never noticed that before. How refreshing that is. How encouraging, at just the time I needed it. Hey, here's the psalmist in these two verses. He's crying out to God, God, hear my prayer. He's like, give me understanding and deliver me. The second thing we see as a result of this, and now he's going to shift to praise. Lord, hear my prayer. Now he's saying, Lord, receive my praise. Look at verse 171 and 172. It says, my lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. He turns from his prayer to praise. He's confident. We don't see that his prayers have been answered, but he's already confident that God will, and he turns it to praise. As he's calling out to his shepherd here and knowing that the shepherd's going to hear him. Verse 157, it really reads like it's coming straight from his heart when he's saying, my lips will pour forth praise. Like it's coming out from within him, like it's bubbling forth. It's even 172, and we see it's almost like it's coming from the mind. My tongue will sing your word. The things I'm thinking of are going to come out. So you get the emotion and the intellect side of both of this. My lips pour out praise, and they just keep coming. Two things that always go together. The understanding, the knowledge, and our emotion, the attitude. We need them both. An excitement and enthusiasm that contemplates God's word. And that's why I think these two verses go so well together. They're wonderfully paralleled. As he is singing out, it's singing both what his emotions, what's going on, but he's singing according to God's word. Your commandments are always right, or they're always righteous. They're always trustworthy. So it's just a wonderful thing to read. His will and his word. And this is a God that we can trust to do what is right. Spurgeon, once again, he says, when a man has so high an opinion of God's commandments, it is little wonder that his lips should be ready to extol the ever-glorious one. You see what was said there? My lips will pour forth your praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. He loves God's word. He's just got to sing about it. He just has to share it. And so we see he has a call for help. God, hear my prayer. And then it's a praise. God, would you receive my praise? And thirdly, he's saying, Lord, will you help me? Look at 173. Will you help me? But let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. The psalmist, it's really a renewing of what we've already read. He's renewing what was said earlier in this prayer. It's intensified. He's longing for salvation in verse 174. God, I really desire it. I really want it. But it's all, again, grounded in God's word. I long for your salvation. Your law is my delight. He's looking and saying, my deliverance, my salvation has to fit in with your word, O God. In verse 173, though, I really like this phrase. When he's saying, let your hand be ready to help me, or your mighty hand, your powerful hand, ready to help me, doing something that I cannot do myself. You ever had a prayer like that? God, this is too big for me. God, this is out of my control. God, I need your help with this. But there's a confidence here in saying, God, I've chosen to honor you. I've chosen to obey you. I'm following your word. I love your word. And because I'm living right, I can come to you in confidence. God, would you help me through this? Interesting here. You ever notice, maybe this is just me, when it says, let your hand be ready to meet. What do we know about God? Does God have a physical body? No, he's a spirit. God isn't like us in the sense he doesn't have a physical body. He doesn't have hands or feet. And so when you read this, but it's meant to help us understand. It's meant for us to get that picture of what it is that God's doing, where he likens himself to us, like giving a hand. I liken it. I watch sports. I've played sports. And often when you're playing, you fall down. Maybe you get tackled. Maybe you bumped in with an opponent or whatever. You know what the other players do? They reach down to help you up. And they're giving you a hand, helping you to get up when you've fallen down. Someone who comes to your rescue. But it even has another idea here. Not only is it let your hand be ready to help me, it also comes with the idea of a steadying presence. Let your hand steady me. Let your hand help me so I'm not fall or I don't fall over. I remember growing up, I grew up in Ohio, so obviously north of here, we'd get lots and lots of snow, and our gravel driveway would turn to ice. And I remember every Christmas, Grandpa and Grandma, they would come over. We usually went to their house, but on Christmas Day, they would come to our house. Well, usually, with it being winter, Ohio, right on the lake, we had lots of snow, lots of ice, and so the driveway was just covered in ice. Believe it or not, I would have fun out there. We'd see who can surf the longest on their feet without falling down. But when Grandma and Grandpa came over, we were told as soon as that car got in, we would run out, we would open the door for Grandma, and my brother or I, we would there with a hand to hold her, to help keep her steady so she wouldn't slip on that ice. I'm sure you can picture that. That idea of that steadying presence to keep you where you're not going to fall. You're not going to fail. Hey, here's the psalmist. Lord, let your hand be ready to help me. Lord, I need you. I need you so I don't fall. He's saying, I love your law. I've chosen to follow your ways, but I need you right now. Help me up. Help me go. Help keep me straight. Why? Well, verse 174, he says, I long for your salvation. I need you to deliver me. Again, throughout Psalm 119, he's spoken of his enemies and being all around. And James Boyce, he wrote this, your deliverance from sin, from its penalty, power, and presence, from the evil influences and outlook of the world, and perhaps even from the power of the devil, we can do nothing to deliver ourselves. So we need to ask God for salvation, which is what the psalmist does. God help me, I can't do this. I can't face this alone. And so once again, he's asking according to God's word. There's a confidence in verse 174. Your law is my delight. He adds this in verse 175. Let me live. Let my soul live and praise you. Let my life be filled with praise. He's saying, I live for you, God. I live to praise you. I live to serve you. I love your judgments. I love your word. But I depend on you today. Isn't that a cry that we could have? The psalmist, you know, he's asking a request we have. God, I want to know you. Teach me. Help me, guide me, direct me. Hey, you know, our relationship with God is founded on God's grace, God's commitment, God's word, his compassion. But it's all about we look through here and we learn who he is. Our relationship with him, our walk depends on him. I need God. I need your help. I need you to guide me. I can't even walk without you. I need every step. What does it say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need God to direct us. And so the psalmist, he's admitting, God, I need your help. I need your help to live. I need your help to go each and every day. I need your presence. I need your guidance. God, you are all that I need. Your word, O Lord, is what I need. That's what he's been saying throughout this entire psalm. Well, there's one more thing today. We're going a little fast, but that's all right. One more thing today. In verse 176, it's saying, Lord, please come and rescue me. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Lord, please come and rescue me. Verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. It's interesting, as we've gone throughout this psalm, I can only recall one other time where the psalmist is saying, look, I've made some mistake or I've messed up. And that was all the way back at the beginning, of Psalm 119, where it appears that he's in a land, he's somewhere from his own doing. He's away from home. It's believed perhaps that he had traveled away and isn't where he isn't back home with all the other Israelites. And here's the psalmist. Now he's saying, Lord, I've gone astray. It's the only real time that we see that he's acknowledging that maybe there's something he's done that he's messed up. But maybe it may be something that he needs help. He's needed help all these other times from his situation, when he's saying it's unjust or it's not my own fault. We looked at that last week when it said princes persecute me without cause. We've seen that he's depending on God and through all of this, through the lies and the deceit. But now he's going, instead of, as we've already looked tonight, he's praying for help and salvation. We get this, I have gone astray. In Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, David says of the good shepherd, he says he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. I think this psalmist here kind of reminds me of Psalm 23. It resonates here. As the psalmist says, I wander like a sheep. I've gone away and he's just wandering like he's saying, I'm still God's servant. I still belong to him. I still serve him. But I've gone astray. I've gone a little away. I need God. I need my shepherd to come and get me and to put me back on the right path. You know, don't forget this. Here's the psalmist saying, I'm like a sheep. I can't find my way home. God, I need you to seek me. I need you to find me. I need you to safely bring me back. We need God to do that. The law is the word here. When it says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. The word lost there, it also has the meaning of perishing. I've gone away like a sheep that if not found is going to die. I can't keep going this way. I need God to lead me back. I liken it to, it's how many times we've seen a so-called Christian and they've gone away and they know they're doing wrong. I remember talking with one individual who was clearly not living for the Lord. And he's like, you know I'm doing wrong. I know it. And he's like, maybe someday I'll come back. You know, that's somebody who needed to be praying, God, I've gone astray. I'm going to die. I need you to bring me back. He needs God to direct him back. It's significant and wonderful to point out that even though the sheep has lost sight of his shepherd, he knows the shepherd has never lost sight of him. You know exactly where I'm at. You know exactly what's happened. You know exactly what I need. This great shepherd who will willingly come and provide for him. You know, when I think of the shepherd Christ, the shepherd who's going to ultimately come, and I don't know if the psalmist means it like this. I think the psalmist means it personally. But when I think of Jesus, he was our shepherd, and he came, he knew exactly what we needed. And he died on the cross for us, knowing exactly how to bring us home. We have a wonderful shepherd. The great reformer, Martin Luther, he had some words of encouragement. As he looked at this last verse in Psalm 119, 176, and I thought it might be an appropriate conclusion for tonight. Here's what he said. Therefore, at the end of the psalm, he, the psalmist, especially calls to mind the divine pity out of the greatness of his wretchedness. For if he strayed like a lion or a wolf, he would not need to be grieved. But because it is a little lamb that goes astray, it is a wretchedness that needs a shepherd. pasture, watchmen, a sheepfold, and many other household cares, and the straying one lacks all of them. Indeed, what is most wretched of all is that it does not know how to come back on the way, but needs to seek it. Thus, this verse is extremely emotional and full of tears. For truly, we are all thus going astray, so that we must pray to be visited, sought, and carried over by the most godly shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God blessed forever. Amen. What an encouragement for us. Here's the psalmist at the end of this psalm. He's been all about the Word of God, the wonderfulness and the joys of it, to get us through the hard days and the difficult days, to get us through persecution, to teach us the right ways and the steps and the ways to please God. And he comes here now and he's crying out for God. He's crying out for help. He's crying out for deliverance. He's praising God because he knows God will do it. But he ends with this. He's saying, I know that I am a sinner, but God, I need you. And he adds, for I do not forget your commandments. God, I'm your servant. Will you bring me back? Friend, today, I don't know what you're going through, and maybe you're sitting here and you go, you know what, I haven't been living right. Maybe you can say, I'm like the sheep, I've gone astray. There's a sin, there's something in my life. I need God. God, I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me. And maybe it's a sin that's had a hold on you for days, weeks, months, years. God, would you bring me back? Get me going the right way. Friend, you can go to God. You may have lost sight of him, but he has never lost sight of you. Would you pray with me? Lord our God, tonight we haven't been long in your word, but it's been powerful, Lord. Throughout this entire psalm, we've seen this this example of a man that seemed almost too good. It seems like he can face anything. And Lord, when we see at the end, he even says that he too is like a sheep that has gone astray. Lord, that's encouraging to me to know that we can, even though we've sinned, we know we can come to you. Lord, that you and your word will guide us and direct us every step of the way. Help us to be like the psalmist was, Lord, where he relied on your word for guidance, direction. He treasured it and loved it. He said it was better than gold. Lord, help us when we face hard times, may it not be because we've gone astray and we've sinned. And whatever reason it is, Lord, may we hold on tight to you and your word for guidance, for deliverance, for every step of the way. Lord, this chapter, I believe it's the longest chapter that we find in your word, but it's so full of just wonderful truths of how great your word is. May we hold it dearly, love it, spend time in it, treasure it, just get to know it, memorize it, and may it just be everything that we cling to each and every day. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us in a way that never changes and will always last. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.